At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Today, Attorney General Bill Barr spars with Democrats on the Hill. Democrats argue over the latest coronavirus stimulus bill, and Twitter and Facebook delete a viral video promoted by one of the Trumps on COVID-19 and hydroxychloroquine. You're not allowed to talk about possible treatment plans. We've got a lot coming up, and it starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, today joined by America's favorite cowboy, Chad Prather, back in the house.
Glad to join you.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Mm-hmm. Also joined by one of my favorites, one of my personal favorites, CEO of Alexo Athletica, Amy Robbins.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be back.
Here. Yes, we're happy to have you. We were talking all things baby before we started.
We weren't.
I guess we'll stop for the show to give you people the news, I guess.
Yeah, you meant you people.
Yeah, I did. Attorney General Bill Barr clashed with the Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee earlier today over accusations that he is carrying out President Trump's political wishes as he appeared for a long-awaited hearing where tensions flared over protests and riots following George Floyd's death in police custody, because I feel like we're living in Groundhog's Day and these riots are never going to stop, never going to go away. It's just the same thing every single day. This hearing was delayed because we got word that Jerry Nadler was in a car accident, and then he showed up and he got on his phone book on his chair and he just assumed the position. And here is a little bit of what happened at the hearings today. Watch.
I now recognize Mr. Chabot.
Mr. Attorney General, would it be accurate to say that it's this administration's responsibility, and of course you're part of the administration, to see that federal laws are upheld and that the federal property is secure and safe and protected? Is that correct?
That's right, Congressman. They're sort of distinct missions. One mission is to enforce federal law. And by the way, the federal government is the sovereign of the United States. We have two sovereigns here in the United States, and we enforce the federal law all over the country. Every square foot of the country, we enforce federal law. The other is protecting federal property, and specifically U.S. courthouses, which are the heart of federal property in all 93 jurisdictions in the United States. And we have the obligation to protect federal courts, and the U.S. Marshals specifically have been given that obligation. Federal courts are under attack. Since when is it okay to try to burn down a federal court? If someone went down the street to the Prettyman Court here, that beautiful courthouse we have right at the bottom of the hill, and started breaking windows and firing industrial-grade fireworks in to start a fire, throw kerosene balloons in, and start fires in the court, is that okay? Is that okay now? No, the U.S. Marshals have a duty to stop that and defend the courthouse, and that's what we are doing in Portland. We are at the courthouse defending the courthouse. We're not out looking for trouble.
Chad, your thoughts on Bill Barr's remarks on the federal law enforcement coming in?
He's not wrong. I mean, our law enforcement, our National Guard, and our military exist to liberate, serve, and protect, unlike most nations of the world whose military exists to oppress. Mm-hmm. They're used as a long arm of the state in order to keep people down and make sure that the people in power stay in power. This is a situation where he's right. They're not out looking for trouble. But let's face it, these Congress people that are questioning him, and it was quite interesting. It became a three-ring circus for a while that was just absolutely purposeless. You know, when Eric Swalwell opens his mouth, it tends to get a little bit idiocracy there. But they can end all of this stuff. All they have to do is come out and condemn it. All they have to do is come out and condemn it. Democrats and Republicans alike stand together, united, and say, no, this is America. We're going to be a united America. Let's stop being divisive. Let's come together. We can disagree. It's okay to be big boys and girls and have, you know, be able to handle an opinion that's not ours. But stop doing what you're doing, and let's sort this thing out. But they're not going to do that. Jerry Nadler himself said to our buddy Austin Fletcher, he said, that's a myth. Antifa, the violence of Antifa in Portland, that's a myth. So if it's all mythology, I mean, I heard that Portland protesters are starting to say that his crash this morning was a myth. Who knows? We'll find out. But
all you got to do is say it to make it true, right. Apparently, Amy.
They can't even get on the same page as to what's going on. I mean, if you were one of the ones who had the unfortunate time to have to watch this today, I mean, you would quickly realize Jerry can't even figure out if, do I wear my mask? Do I hold my mask? Do I put my mask?
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
Then you just watched that clip. He didn't even have his mask
right,
on at that point.
No
so now
mask.
We can't even get on the same page as to do we wear a mask, do we not? Are these violent protests? Are they peaceful protests? Like, it doesn't even seem like the truth matters anymore. They want to distort the truth. They want to suppress the truth. They don't even want... It's just, like you said, it's a circus right now. And, I mean... Yeah, if you're not paying attention to what's going on, which most aren't, I get comments every day on how ridiculous. Do you support Trump sending in federal troops against U.S. citizens? Well, that's not what's going on.
Right.
If you remember, our Constitution does actually allow the government to protect us against foreign and domestic terrorists. And when you've got Antifa infiltrating these riots that are turning these peaceful protests into something destructive, well, then, yes, the federal government does have a right to go in and to suppress terrorist groups, which, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Antifa just declared domestic terrorist group?
Yes.
And, you know, why don't the people that are wanting to peacefully protest condemn this? Mm-hmm. Why aren't they trying to stop these people from hijacking their mission and their message?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. Well, and in your point, too, lies the fact that the federal government also need, I mean, there's a whole other subset of citizens that they're supposed to protect, right? Like, it's not just the rioters that we're thinking of. It's the other people, the unfortunate people who have to live in Portland and, you know, are dealing with businesses being burned down and, you know, apartment complexes being set on fire. And, I mean, there's something to that as well. It's not just the rioters that I think we should be worried about. Chad?
You know, I'm one of the first ones, and as I know both of you are, I'm against governmental overreach.
Yes.
I don't want the government in a place where it shouldn't be. But as he said, these are federal buildings,
yes,
federal properties. They belong to them.
Yeah.
They have to foot the bill, not only to build them, but repair them and clean them up and keep them clean and make sure that they're operational. They're the ones who change the filters out in the air conditioning units. So,
and they are used by the law-abiding citizens who didn't choose for these rioters to come wreak havoc on their city.
Exactly. Then to that point, while I don't believe in governmental overreach, I do believe in the rule of law.
Yes.
And that is where the rule of law is supposed to be exercised in this country. So they are basically saying, well, no, we're anarchists. We are going to tear down what we see as the rule of law. Symbolically, at least, we're tearing down the rule of law in this nation. No one can tell me truly what these people are even supposedly protesting.
Right.
It's not George Floyd. It's not George Floyd at this point. So nobody knows what they're protesting. These are anarchists. And you're right, Amy. They've been named a domestic terrorist organization. They're being funded. They're being used, really, as cannon fodder because somebody's waiting on some craziness to break down. And it's going to. I keep saying this, and people think I'm calling for it. I'm not. But I just know human nature. I've read my Bible, and I've read my history books. And I'm telling you, this doesn't last very long without some things going really, really south and getting violent. And when it does, you don't put that genie back in the bottle.
I want to hit on one other thing that you said, Amy, which was that the truth really just does not matter anymore. And I think that it really was so telling and on full display today during this hearing. Jerry Nadler, once again, went on to claim that Bill Barr and his department have, quote, downplayed the effects of systemic racism. And he also addressed, I know, it just makes you, I mean, my blood pressure is going through the roof right now. In relation to the Russia probe, he said that under Barr, the DOJ's attitude was that the president's enemies will be punished, his friends will be protected no matter the cost, and that the DOJ's actions have caused, quote, real damage to our democratic norms, which is weird because I feel like there was a heavily funded by taxpayers investigation into the Russia probe, and they didn't find what Jerry Nadler just said.
I'm also confused, too. Is it the DOJ's job to stop and dismantle systemic racism? Is that now in their job description? But again, nobody knows nobody knows what the truth is. Nobody knows what the truth of, like, what is the DOJ set up for, what they're supposed to be doing, what they're supposed to be protecting. People don't even understand that. And then they're making comments mm-hmm. when they don't really know what's supposed to be happening here. I mean, it's literally like we are living in this alternate universe mm-hmm. right now where people don't know their constitution. Mm-hmm. I loved for the part of the hearing that I got to hear before we came on this show. I loved hearing the Democrats continue to quote and use the Constitution.
Oh, yeah.
When it
first time reading it, guys,
when if it serves their purpose.
Yeah.
You know, we all have a freedom. They love freedom of speech. That is their favorite part of the Constitution.
First Amendment. How about that second one?
Right. The one that actually protects their right. their right to freedom of speech. You know, so, I mean, people, it's just lost. It's mm-hmm. chaos out there right now. People don't want to go and do their own research, which I would highly recommend going and researching what the role of the DOJ is, what the role of the federal government is, what your Constitution actually says mm-hmm. in states before you just start going off the cuff and quoting it.
Yeah. Yeah. Chad, I had someone tell me that I should not be talking about systemic racism. I wouldn't know what that is, me looking like I do. So apparently you have to be, I guess, dark-skinned in order to understand what systemic racism is, which would lead me to believe whoever is saying that has absolutely no idea what systemic racism would mean.
Yeah, I don't know how the Department of Justice, which is obviously biased, we've already seen that over and over again, and how they're going to control what exists supposedly in somebody's heart. You know, on my show, we defined racism in a way that said if something is withheld from you that everyone else has available to them because of the color of your skin, that is systemic racism. Mm-hmm. If it's built into the system, no one can really show me. Has that existed in America? 100%.
Yes.
It has. And 50 to 70 years past Jim Crow, we're making some enormous strides that still need to continue going. But to say that there's systemic racism that especially is widespread and rampant is absolutely ludicrous. And to the point, and I'll put them both together, they should be happy that most gun owners in America are not using the Second Amendment the way they're attempting to use the First mm-hmm. Amendment, because it's a complete violation of this thing. To say that I have a right to peacefully assemble, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I believe you have a right to peacefully assemble while holding that firearm. You can march right down the middle of that taxpayer-funded street. That is fine with me.
If only that's all that they were doing.
But if that's all you were doing, and obviously the firearms aside, they're finding ways to do it. I mean, these people, the way they find things to use as practical forms of weapons, everything from umbrellas to fireworks to, it's insane. The milkshakes, you know, and the cement cups and styrofoam cups, I don't know, man. They're just trying to egg it on and egg it on and egg it on. And you're right. To see them use the Constitution, it's like a speechwriter gave them something and they read it off and they didn't even know that they were reading mm-hmm. the Constitution.
Yeah. Well, and most people listening to them haven't even read the Constitution. They're just like, oh, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I like what you said. That sounds good.
You know how many times, Amy, and look, we make a living doing this, right? Talking about these things. Do you know how many times I've had to say, you know what, let me go look up the 16th Amendment and let me just see exactly how it's worded and try to unpack it while I'm in the middle of a conversation with somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's written by some guys in the 1700s and 1800s, those amendments, you know, and as America has developed even into the 1900s, and sometimes that language ain't exactly the way we talk in my vernacular. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So I got to go see what in the hell they talking about. But, you know, so this idea, this interpretive idea that everybody knows exactly what was the intent of the founding fathers. But let's just take the parts we can understand. What I always say is, if nothing else, read the parts of your Bible that are highlighted. Don't try to figure out all that stuff in there, you know, who begat who. Just read the parts that are highlighted and underlined. That's better than most are doing with the Constitution.
Yeah.
So true.
All right, we've got a lot more coming up. First, we want to thank our sponsor this segment, Home Title Lock. So you probably think you own a security system, you're protected, your home's protected anytime you leave, anything like that. You just set your alarm and then you're out. And you're like, well, it's protected because if anything happens, the cops are going to call me and I'll know that someone is breaking into my home. Well, what you are not aware of, if you do not listen to this program, is that you are still susceptible to home title title fraud, which is one of the fastest growing crimes right now, according to the FBI. And this is even more devious than a burglar coming into your house, because what these thieves do is they go online where your home title is stored. They can forge your name. They pull your home title. They forge your name on the deed stating that you've sold your home. And then they can refile as the new owner. They can do whatever they want with all of your equity. Your retirement nest egg could just be gone, vanished right out from under you. And you have no repercussions, because guess what? There is no identity theft program, no banking program. Nothing will protect you except, here's the good news, Home Title Lock does. The instant they detect tampering, they mobilize to shut it down and let you know. Now, first things first, you got to go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you are already a victim and don't know it. Because like I said, you will not know it unless you go and register your address. You don't want to be one of the people that waits until it's too late and you've lost all your money and you can't get it back. All right, go to HomeTitleLock.com, use promo code Y for 30 free days of protection. That is promo code WHYY at HomeTitleLock.com. That is HomeTitleLock.com. Democrat leadership, including, of course, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, brought momentum on the latest proposed coronavirus relief package to a screeching halt. Today, they refused to cooperate or compromise on the bill unless it restores a full $600 per week supplement unemployment benefit to out-of-work Americans. Now, of course, Republicans are saying that we don't want to extend the $600 per week benefit because, you know, you're kind of like incentivizing people to remain unemployed, which if we really want to get people back to work, we probably shouldn't do that. But Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer said, we are somewhat frustrated. We had hoped there would be a bill. And instead, in the Senate, they've put little pieces here and there. We hope they can get their act together. We very much want to get something done for the needs of the people and the needs of the country, which is weird because I feel like they always find reasons to hold up these coronavirus relief packages instead of providing relief to the citizens quickly. Nancy Pelosi said she cited reports that the bill allows business owners to take more in select business expenses like client entertainment as a tax credit. So she said they have a tax credit for expensive dinners and lunches, but no money for food stamps or nutrition assistance. There's no money for that.
You almost do that too well.
Chad. There's not water in here.
This isn't water.
I actually found myself doing that voice the other day when I was trying to quote something from her because of you.
Well, she just makes it too damn easy. She said, if Republicans are not getting to the fundamentals of food and rent and economic survival, they're not really ready to have a serious negotiation. Chad, I hate to bring up things like facts and history and stuff like that, but I feel like it's been the Democrats every time when the Republicans or anyone has put forth a bill and said, let's help the American people now. We can't tell them they have to shut down their businesses and not give them something. Let's help them now and we can deal with the rest later. The Democrats are always the one who say, well, but hold on a second. You didn't include some of my other pet projects, because what about the climate? We need to include the climate stuff in the coronavirus relief bill.
Well,
work that out for me.
You remember what LBJ said? remember what LBJ said about, you know, give me, you know, the blah, 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 great society, 200 years, voting Democrat. Here's the way I interpret this whole thing in a nutshell. I'm going to come at it from a macro level. For the longest time, the Democrats have known that they have the black community, in many cases the Hispanic community, mm-hmm. dependent upon the government, right? Mm-hmm. They've done that. They have destroyed the nuclear family.
Easy voter.
The patriarchal aspect of the home has been destroyed. You know, in 1965, 25% of African-American homes were single parent. Now 75%. What they have discovered, whether on purpose or not, they've discovered a way to find, to get people who are outside of the low-income community, dependent on the government teat, if you will. Mm-hmm. And now it's another form of welfare system where people, by and large, who are educated professionals, in many cases, have said, this is okay. Yeah. This is nice. How long can we work this thing out? And they know that. And having known that, if they can, at the end of the day, what does it come down to? It comes down to November 2020, right? Mm-hmm. So both sides are trying to manipulate this thing to see how can we appease the voter that's out there. And that's what's frustrating.
You know, and I would have said, too, it's coming down to November 2020. Mm-hmm. But what I think this bill is trying to do now at this point is it doesn't matter what happens in 2020. We used to be so worried about Bernie Sanders getting it because, oh, we can't let socialism, we can't turn America into a socialist country. This is inadvertently pulling our country towards socialism, 100%. Regardless of who is in power. Because forget getting people back to work. I love that there was zero mention. Mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi never talks about getting people back to work. Because
maybe just let people open their businesses. I don't know.
Yeah.
Call it a crazy concept.
Right. I mean, I think at the heart, people want to work. People want to make something of themselves. They want to better the situation that they are in. No one thinks that being dependent on the government is going to make you a wealthy person. You don't get rich by taking government handouts. Right. You get wealthy by...
a high school football coach used to ask us, how long is it going to take you to be a millionaire and make a minimum wage?
It's just true.
And it's the same on government's assistance. So.
I mean, but you're absolutely right. And for those of us who are griping and complaining that they say they have not, you know, well, they don't want to go to work to have. Mm-hmm. They want to continue to rely on the government and just open our country back up and please let people get back to work. We would have less rioters in the street. Yeah. Those people don't have jobs.
Right. Should have never closed down.
Mm-hmm.
Should have never closed down. And I will fight that to my dying breath. I'm sure it'll be a coronavirus attributed death. I want to go all Glenn Beck though and go, I told y'all a year ago. I was talking about California when I said they're going to use
this is good so far
capitalism to bring in socialism. That's what they're going to do. Mm. They can't just bring in socialism, so they have to use the system that's already in place. That's what they have to do. So California did it. They choke people with capitalism. There's so many taxes. There's so many things that you have to pay for. Property, everything. You can't buy a house out there. So what we're seeing happening is this same situation. Now they're using, we're going to use money and give it to you. Mm-hmm. And we will bring you into a state of socialism, and you'll never at any time have voted for an AOC or a Bernie Sanders or anybody else. And suddenly you wake up one day and you're like, what world am I living in?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. How do you think, I want to ask both of
cry.
You.
I didn't cry. That would have been a good glimpse. I could have cried.
You should have cried.
Yeah.
Get some water and just sprinkle it on you right there. How do you think, you know, if you're looking at how this affects the election, right? You've got the people on the right who are not, it's not like they're going to vote for Joe Biden. You've got the people on the left who are way too far gone. They've got Trump derangement syndrome. They're not moving to the other side. So really you're looking at the independents. How does the independent look at this? I mean, because I'm looking at it, I don't know, using like reason and logic. And I'm like, you can't possibly think that this is good for the country, for our children, for our children's children, for our children's children's children to keep passing these bills and stop people from working. I have to believe that independents are more reasonable than to just say, well, yeah, these damn Republicans won't keep spending money that we don't have.
What bills are getting passed? Don't we just print money?
Right.
Isn't that what happens?
I mean, that's right.
You have too many people that don't understand who ends up paying for this. Yeah. But I think if that's their plan to keep people dependent on the government, I mean, if you go to work and you actually get a paycheck, then you see your money go to the government.
Did you see the viral video that went around? I'll show it to you during the break.
I'll have to see it. But so again, I think it goes back to if you can keep people out of work and never see their paycheck going to the government, mm-hmm. then
what
does it matter to them who's paying for any of this? They don't know who's paying for any of this stuff, so doesn't affect them one way or the other.
Yeah, I think we should all just pay quarterly taxes, I think, and that would change the entire system.
So I stirred things up over the weekend in my gubernatorial statement of unpopular politics.
Oh,
I said that property taxes, for instance, needs to be abolished. There's ways for Texans to prosper without bringing in a state income tax. And people wanted to fight me. They wanted to fight me on that stuff. But it's a general rule that people don't understand simple economics. And I will encourage people to read the creature. I think it's the creature from Jekyll Island. It talks about the founding of the Federal Reserve and everything that Amy just said. You need to read that, because this idea that you can just keep printing the money and keep putting it in people's pockets and taking care of them, it does two things. One, economically, it bankrupts a country. But on the other side, it bankrupts people's hearts. And that's a big thing. You can't factor out human nature. You know, Romans chapter 3, I believe it is, says that the heart, you know, runs to evil. The feet run to evil. We do that. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. So what happens? We're pursuing this thing. And it doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, but it's the love of money. It makes people do some crazy things, including vote the wrong people into the wrong places to make the wrong decisions for your life.
Yeah. All right. We have got much more coming up. Back in a minute with Preacher Chad.
I was about to ask her, were you a pastor in your former life?
In your former life?
Former life.
Mm-hmm. Is that the most shocking thing ever? Want to give a warm welcome to someone else who just snuck in on the program, our good friend Graham Allen, author of the new book, America 316, and of course, podcast host of Dear America. Graham, you're an author now. Look at that.
Well, it just shows that they'll give that title to just about anyone these days.
Well, we're happy to be joined by you, even if just remote. I do want to give you a little bit to talk about your book, but I want to get into this news story with you, because I think that you posted the video of it. So Twitter and Facebook now both have taken down a video of a press conference in Washington, D.C. that happened yesterday that President Trump had reposted. It was shared more than 14 million times on just Facebook alone. And it featured doctors and medical personnel from a group called America's Frontline Doctors, who share their opinions on coronavirus and the response to the pandemic. Basically, their opinions were not in line with what the CDC and WHO have been saying, the World Health Organization, and they shared their success in hydroxychloroquine. They said that we don't need to wear masks, and that's not allowed even if you're a medical doctor, I guess. So, Graham, what are your thoughts on all of this? And did you share a video that had been taken down from this?
Oh yeah, you know I shared it. And so, I put it up, and we had a couple hundred thousand shares within the first couple hours. And then around 9:30 at night, somebody wrote and said it had been taken down. Go look, it's taken down. I have to go into the business manager for Facebook to find even a notification, and it says that I violated community standards in Facebook. So let's dissect what happened last night, if we can, really quick. Let's remove the fact of, are these doctors revealing this huge conspiracy that's going on? Let's remove that for a second. Even if they're wrong, I'm not saying they're right, I'm not saying they're wrong. Shouldn't we as Americans have the right to choose what we watch and what we listen to and make decisions for ourselves? It is the equivalent of your kid asking you, can they watch the rated R movie? And you saying, no, it's not appropriate for you. You're not old enough yet. That's what Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff did to millions upon millions of grown American adults yesterday. They said that they know better than you know of what needs to be seen. And then Facebook says they took it down because it's false information. How did you verify that in 6 hours? Who did you talk to verify that this is false and harmful information? It is the most blatant censorship I have seen yet since I've been doing this. I mean, you're talking about millions of people who saw this in like 6 hours, and everyone saw firsthand what censorship actually looks like.
Yeah. Chad, what are your thoughts on on how this all played out.
This is a perfect example of how Obamacare plays out. Yeah, you can keep your doctor. You can make the choice to keep your doctor unless your doctor says something that the state-sanctioned doctor doesn't agree with. And then, you know what? You can't keep your doctor anymore. I mean, this is a thing where here are people who have been to medical school. That's the whole idea of being able to go get a second opinion. Right. These people have been to medical school. They are credible. They know who they are. You can check their credentials. Right. We're not even talking about whether they're reputable or not.
They could have gone to the same medical schools, by the way. The exact same medical schools, taking the exact same courses.
But unless you know, Fauci says it or Burks says it, then you can't listen to it. And so Graham's exactly right. Look how good he looks. Look how good he looks. And that, let me tell you something. I read, he's moving all over. He doesn't know what he's doing. That was just your arm, Graham. I was looking at the book behind you. And then, of course, Stu doesn't
know. Apparently we're having, well, just keep going. People can't see
but
that.
No, that's exactly right.
Keep going.
Let me tell you, the devil is in Obamacare. The devil is in this technology. I'm going to cast the devil out of Graham Allen.
They're trying to censor us right now.
I understand. See, this is exactly what I'm talking about. When they come down, Big Brother's watching. This is Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Graham, I miss you.
I miss you too, buddy. It's not the same. It's not the same. I miss you. Every time I go through Texas, though, you leave. It's like you find out I'm coming and you get out of there.
Well, unlike the rest of you talking heads, I got a job.
Amy, I want to get your thoughts on this because I'm with Graham and Chad. I'm like, how could you possibly go down a path where we're only allowed to spread information from medical doctors who have the same credentials only if they agree with what the, quote, state has told you is okay, even though, I mean, you look at what medicine has told us previously. Pregnant women were allowed to drink. Pregnant women were allowed to smoke. You know, the earth was flat. I mean, it seems to me like there's always a conclusion.
There's always a conclusion. Uh-oh,
did I offend someone? There's always a conclusion that they deem to be accurate until it's not. And that's the great thing about science.
I mean, let's not forget that all the medications that they're recommending are all approved medications here. And the only other, let's call it viable from their standpoint, right? Viable alternative to this is wear a mask.
Right.
Stand 6 feet apart, but we can't even recommend or hear the recommendation of a few, like a cocktail of medications, all of which are approved medications. I mean, even before this video went viral, my personal physician had a video go viral. He's right here in McKinney, Texas. You can look him up. Same thing happened to him. He has been treating. We can't even get an appointment with this doctor because of he's getting 500 calls a day. Wow. Once this video went out, he is treating people with a combination of the hydroxychloroquine, I believe it's azithromycin, losartan, aspirin, and zinc. Yeah. All for under $50. At your local pharmacy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what he is recommending. That's what he's actively treating people. This is a doctor who uses scientific-based evidence and research before he prescribes people things. Did you know they haven't had one person go to the hospital? He keeps a running tally on his wall of how many people are coming in, getting treated, and how many of them are walking away without symptoms, don't have to go to the hospital. Not one person has died. Yeah. So it's mind-blowing to me. Well, it shouldn't be mind-blowing anymore.
Forget the cocktail. They want Bill Gates to give you a vaccine.
A vaccine.
Fauci came out and said there should be one by November. You know what I do, Amy? I drink whiskey.
Graham, I want to give you last word on this before we go to break. Is it about the vaccine? Is it about discrediting Trump? What is it that makes them so apt to just shut down any conversation about hydroxychloroquine?
Well, I never thought that I would start to talk like Glenn does, but at the end of the day, what you're seeing is this is what control looks like. Mm-hmm. This is what control starts to sound like, feel like. Lord knows Fauci has opened his mouth and 30% of what comes out of Fauci's mouth is relatively true. The rest is just garbage. And also, how can you trust a man that throws a baseball quite like Fauci throws a baseball? I don't trust anybody that can't. I mean, I'm being for real. There's basic motor functions that I think that you should hold to be able to give me an opinion about things. And anyway, it's just, Chad's right. We have a right as Americans. We have a right as Americans to go worship a tree in the backyard if we want to. So don't tell us that we can't listen to credited doctors mm-hmm. who have an opinion mm-hmm. against the almighty powers that be. Like I said, yesterday, even for me, that was a really, really big deal, what happened yesterday, and people need to really pay attention to it.
Yeah. One of the great differences about the United States and China used to be that, you know, they would censor the information that their people were getting from the internet, and we wouldn't do that. We're a free country. Well, look where we're at now, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. It didn't take us long to get there. All right, we've got more coming up with Graham Allen, author of America 316, when we come back. Back in a minute. All right, back with Graham Allen here at the table in this lovely little monitor. We wish you were here, Graham, but we know you're a busy man. But I want to talk to you about your book, America 316. Tell us about it. Why'd you want to write it?
Well, it's written in crayon, and so everybody should be able to read it really well. No, so America 316, I'm really excited about it. Chad, I sent you the book, but I'm yep. sure you hadn't read it
nope,
yet.
No, I read it.
Mine just got lost in the
I'm
mail.
Excited.
Or?
Well, Chad, what do you think? Chad, well, I figured he would have given it to you, Sarah, but either way.
You signed it, and I'm not giving it up. So when you're president of the United States, I can still say that I got one of your first book. It's a great book. It's Graham in Graham style, right? It is Graham being very upfront, very personal. He shares a lot of personal pictures. He walks through his story all the way back to when his childhood to what he came out of. Mm. And what he's experienced in life to how he kind of, you know, Graham and I met about, 5 years ago, and we were instant, we hit it off. Yep. And Graham hasn't changed. You talk about people changing when they get a little bit of fame or a voice or a platform. Graham's one of those guys, like I believe I am, will never change. Yeah. It's just I am what you get, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and Graham's the same way, and this book is representative.
Yeah, look at how I'm dressed today. How can I change
I know, right?
look at this.
The only thing you will not get out of that book is Graham going, "Are you crazy, mate?"
Well, it might be typed in there, but he can't.
Yeah. Chad, and thank you. Well, yeah, I appreciate it, Chad.
Sure.
And that's how I wanted to write this book. I really think that this is going to be different than any other conservative book out there. I think a lot of people have an idea of what this book is going to be. And I think on the very first line, on the very first page, you're going to be like, oh, wow, that's not what I thought this was going to be. This book is for every person. 60% of America feel like they can't say what they really want to say. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wrote this book. So my hope is you walk away, there's going to be a lot of people that are upset, there's going to be a lot of people that will laugh and cry and all that stuff, but my hope is everybody can relate to one part of it, everybody can, you know, grab on and maybe learn something from a part of it. And so I'm really excited about it. It's launched today. We're out of pre-order finally. People Good. Can go to America316.com. We're self-published with this book, and we are breaking every sale record Good. Of everybody else that has major publishing deals. So thank everybody who supported the book, and keep buying it. And if you hate it, I don't set it on fire, or I don't know.
You still bought the book, so hey, thanks listen, a lot for the paycheck.
He's a capitalist, and I'll say that is a hardback. That's a substantial book.
Yeah,
you got it in your hand. You know it's a book. It's like Graham when he's in my hands. I know I done found me a
oh,
man.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Graham, do you think that you touched on something that I want to ask you about. Do you think that that's part of the reason that you have been so successful is that you are tapping into what you said 60% of America wants to say but feels like they can't?
Yeah, so, and I said I'd never be this person, but I talk about that in the book. And anyway, in one of the chapters, I talk about that 3.5 years ago or so. It's almost 4 years now when all this stuff started. I didn't realize that I had tapped into something, that there was this need and this want of so many people to have their their voice be shared for them, because people feel like they can't, either through their job or a lot of married couples. You'd be amazed how many people are married that feel like they can't talk to each other about what's going on in the world. And so I don't know. I didn't know what I was on to back then, I guess. And it's obviously it has matured and molded over the past couple of years. And I think that this book, hopefully, is the start of many books. And yeah, unless there's a lot of people that are just bold-faced lying to my face, nobody has hated it yet. So yeah, so I'm excited about it. And I hope that people will check it out.
Chad, I feel like you can probably relate to that. Right. You've had a lot of success with your truck videos that, you know, you just start doing something and you're like, I just need to get this off my chest, not realizing that you're speaking, you know, you and Graham kind of in the same vein. You're speaking for a lot of people who can't speak.
I get told that a lot, you know, for me getting in the truck and talking.
Chad's job.
I'll tell you this about me and about Graham as well. For me, it was therapy. Right.
Yeah.
But now I'm all well. Graham has been very faithful to dance with the one that brought him through all of his success. He still stays faithful to do the things that he did at the very beginning, because he is the same person than he was at the very beginning. I give Alyssa all the credit on that. But Graham is a patriot. He is.
Absolutely.
I was at my show in this past weekend in Oklahoma City, and sitting right in the front row, there's a guy with a Dear America hat. And in the middle of my set, I just stopped and started talking to the guy, and we just kind of fellowshipped a little bit, and our thing in common was Graham. And I love Graham like a brother. He's family to me. I'd get in the truck right now and start driving if they needed me. And that's what you get. You feel like he brings you into his world and his voice, and what motivates that when you'd read America 316.
Yeah. Graham, tell everyone one more time before we lose you, because we know that you've got to go. Tell everyone one more time where they can find the book.
Yeah, well, thanks, Chad. That was beautiful. But you can go get the book, America 316, at America316.com. I appreciate everybody's support. And yeah, just thank you guys for supporting the book.
Yeah, thank you, Graham. And I'll keep waiting for my copy of the book signed in the mail.
I feel awkward.
I was going to deliver you a book, and you guys went on lockdown. What am I supposed to do? You see all these books? I was going to bring all these books. You guys,
they were
and
just
you
for us. Yeah. All right, we got more to come back in a minute.
Love you, buddy.
All right, yesterday's poll, which one has brainwashed more Americans? The media won this one, 58.5%. The universities came in at 41.5%. But as Ariel pointed out, they do kind of work in conjunction with one another to just completely screw up the average American's mind. Today's poll, do you think the 2020 presidential debates are still going to happen? Amy, what do you think? Are the 2020 debates still going to happen?
Not if they can do anything about it. I mean, at this point, I think they're going to keep him, Joe, hidden as long as possible. They're going to just pull out this pandemic as long as they can to, you know, in the name of safety.
Right.
In the name of safety, we're not going to have a debate.
I mean, it's true because, well, and you look at the two men who are participating, they are in the vulnerable age category for coronavirus. So it feels like it fits very well for them to say, well, what do you want, two dead presidential candidates? We don't want that. We only want the one dead presidential candidate. We want Donald Trump dead, not Joe Biden. That's, of course, what they would say. Chad, what do you think?
This is an interesting catch-22. For one thing, it would be the most watched television program in the history of television. I believe that, seriously.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it would also be elder abuse, because Donald Trump would trounce the floor. He would trounce Joe Biden, wipe the floor with him. So I think that there's a huge executive battle going on amongst the networks saying, do we have this thing? Should we at least have one? Come on. We're talking billions of dollars of revenue. And somebody else is going, you know what? We may not exist if we let this thing happen.
That's a great point.
I make great points.
Every once in a while. But I feel like it's the devil and the angel on the shoulder, and the devil's always going to win when it comes to
I think they'll have at least one.
At least the one.
At least one. Mm-hmm.
Well, I did see that the Trump campaign was pushing to have more than what was already previously agreed to.
They were like, no.
Joe Biden seems like, no. We're good with just the ones that we already agreed to.
It'd be interesting. I say just the one, but if he looked really, really bad, they'd have to pull the plug and call technical difficulties and say the cameras got...
Which they do now.
Yeah.
They do. Well, they. Yeah.
Virtual
town halls are always.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Thanks for listening to the News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.